La Ruby Productions presents The Great Unlearning, a courageous memoir about one woman's bold journey to mend her broken past. Read for you today by me, the author, Mary Law. In the last episode, I read The Myth of Me, an incredible story about when it came time to pick a thesis topic in graduate school, I decided to do research on myself because I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia and a panic and anxiety disorder. I wanted to understand the origins of my physical and emotional pain and sought the life-altering counsel from a wide variety of practitioners, from Western to Eastern medicine, shamanic to celestial guidance, and a few otherworldly interventionalists. I asked everyone the same question, what is wrong with me? In today's episode, I will read the first story in part two of The Great Unlearning, titled Dreadlocks. Here is Dreadlocks. With a coin toss, my young family planned a 6-week summer trip to Oregon, over Washington, Idaho, or Colorado, in hopes of finding a beautiful, fair-weathered place to relocate to after I graduated with my master's degree in public health. Honolulu had become too expensive, too crowded, and the constant sun exposure was a moderate risk for me and my little towhead daughters. Before leaving for Oregon, I had arranged to do an internship at Ashland Community Hospital in Southern Oregon. Lori, who was my clinical supervisor there, would become a lifelong mentor and cherished friend. During this trip, an exciting employment opportunity as a cardiac rehabilitation educator became available at a different hospital in a neighboring town. So I confidently interviewed, quickly had a second interview, passed the required physical, and was hired. I was thrilled at the prospect of working with people who had survived heart attacks or open heart surgeries and guiding them on paths to healthy recoveries. It sounded like a dream job that would fit my desires and qualifications. Upon graduating, I packed up my daughters, moved to Oregon, and my husband joined us in about a month, as he was reluctant to leave his mother, who was in poor health. A week after arriving in Oregon and signing a year-long lease on a house, I attended the new employee orientation, only to be told I didn't qualify for the job after all. They had made a mistake. The embarrassed and apologetic woman in human resources said the job requirements were an Oregon registered nurse license, and while a master's in public health was preferred, it was not required. They had never mentioned this in my interviews, and I was led to believe they meant either an RN license or an MPH was required. My master's focus had been community health education and cardiovascular disease prevention and control. So coupled with my biomedical sciences background, I thought I was a perfect fit. But my hard work and previous accomplishments were not good enough. Devastated about this miscommunication, I also took the rejection personally. However, it was no mistake that I had been lured from Honolulu to Ashland, Oregon. My new friend Lori brought me and my sad state of affairs to a small circle of big-hearted, wise women who held a safe and loving space for me. Although Lori didn't say why she had brought me there, and I felt like I was just going along for the ride, this group became my forever beloved sisterhood and helped me unlearn 30 years worth of lies I had chosen to believe. But at our first meeting, when Mira, the gracious facilitator of the circle, asked a simple question that landed in the center of my 38-year-old chest like a stun gun, knocking the wind out of me, I spiraled into a slow panic and considered running for the door. I had been asked, quite frankly, what I didn't like about myself. Sharing my perceived faults and insecurities in front of other people, regardless of the safe environment, felt painfully vulnerable. Even an eye roll from any of these strong, capable women who actually loved themselves, each other, and me, for what reason I could not say, seemed more than I could bear. I feared that admission of my scariest truths would brand me as undeserving of membership in this group, but also felt unable to deceive myself any longer. Mira pulled me from the hole I was digging for myself to hide in by asking if she could read something to me. Nodding yes, I took a noisy, deep breath through flared nostrils, then slowly exhaled through trembling lips, grateful for the extra few moments before having to answer the question which would ultimately expose me. After asking me to keep my eyes on her, Mira slowly opened a notebook on her lap and began to read out loud. She said, all of her life, she had been told lies that she thought were the truth. How could she know the difference? Until a wise woman came along and saw a grain of truth and nurtured it until it was huge and powerful. That woman is you, Mary. My heart broke open as I let out a primal scream that filled every inch of the room. Weeping without reservation, layer after layer of unresolved mother wounding became visible, until unable to outrun my pain anymore. The lies that I had been juggling and spinning like plates were allowed to come into full view. With the intensity of 1,000 warriors, these gentle, compassionate women, Mira, Lori, and Jerry, proceeded to love myself, loathing to death while breathing life into my conviction to heal. This beloved sisterhood met me in all of my dark places and held me up without ever dropping me. With their consistent loving support and witnessing, I was able to strip myself of years of expertly layered armor created to hide my true nature. Trusting in their unconditional love, I exposed the entirety of my wounded and raw self in painful increments over a period of about 10 years. During this time, in spite of my becoming transparent and extremely vulnerable, their love for me never wavered. Throughout my multi-decade journey with these incredible women, I learned my low self-esteem and lack of confidence had locked me into a sense of worthlessness. Without parental direction as a child, I was locked in survival mode without boundaries, forced to learn lessons the hard way, often by humiliation. Moreover, the absence of a nurturing mother had locked me into questioning my own value, to believe that love never lasts, and not to trust anyone. My childhood wounding had also taught me to live as a victim. And my self-expression was locked under all the trauma I had experienced in my life until now. This beloved sisterhood offered me keys to begin unlocking and unlearning the lessons of the root causes of pain, which had caused so much misery as I emerged from a dysfunctional childhood. After sitting in their profoundly intimate circle for the past 25 years, I credit them for nurturing me onto a courageous path to my true glorious self. They have kept me on a heroic journey of self-discovery and healing to this day. Thank you for listening to Dreadlocks. Here is a personal reflection after reading this story to you. My stories are giving women permission to come forward with their experiences of rape, being bullied as children and adults, sexual harassment, and dysfunctional relationships. A day doesn't pass that I don't get an email or note from a woman who is taking a brave step towards finally letting her story be heard. This does my heart good because sharing my stories is making a difference. My plan is working. And I'm also incredibly mad for the abuse, betrayal, and torture of another woman for the sake of what? Why would a woman's first sexual experience be rape? Why would a young teenager be kicked out of the house for being pregnant and left to live on the street? Why would a father molest his young daughter for years? We all need to find ourselves in circles of loving women to help us heal from the travesties of our past. I was ripe for these relationships and cherished my circles of women that I wouldn't give up for anything. Can you manifest a supportive group of women? Yes. How do you find a similar group of supportive women? Start by asking to be guided to those women. Feel what it would feel like to be surrounded by these women. Visualize yourself surrounded by the kindest, most sensitive women and feel what it feels like to be in the embrace of such a loving group. Use all five of your senses in doing so. What do they look like? Are they older, younger? What do their calm and loving voices sound like when they are telling you that you are beautiful and worthy of love? What taste is in your mouth when you visualize being with them? Is it the lingering taste of the pot of chamomile tea you are all sharing, or the last bite of a coconut macaroon you brought to the circle? When their arms are wrapped around you, what does their skin touching yours feel like? Do you feel little arcs of a love language that only your heart and soul understand? What does their hair smell like when you are fully embraced by a warm, melty hug that you never want to end? Be with these extraordinary women every day and keep all of your senses open and aware for their arrival because they are walking towards you. If you'd like to see the self-portrait I created to accompany Dreadlocks, you'll find it on my blog at mary-law.com. Or better yet, while you're on my website, buy a copy of The Great Unlearning. There are over 50 surreal self-portraits and stories in there. Visit mary-law.com. If you purchase a book via my website, I will send you an autographed copy while they last, or you can buy it on Amazon. Now it's time to address a listener's question. Nancy, a reader from Florida, asks, "What is your writing process like?" While writing The Great Unlearning, I'd be out here in my little backyard studio to write before the sun came up. I went to bed thinking about writing and woke up thinking about writing. Sometimes I would write outlines for stories. Sometimes they just flowed right out of me, and hours would pass. For some stories, I enjoyed writing in a stream of consciousness fashion and glean out the gems of the story later. Regardless, I would revisit and edit all of my stories at least 5 times over a week or two before I felt they were done. Then I'd send them off to my editor. I'd also carry a red and white steno pad with me wherever I went and jot down things people would say or thoughts that pop into my mind about a topic in the book. My notepad was always open on the passenger seat of my car when I was driving to and from hospice patients' homes, just in case I needed to write something down, which I did at stop signs, the roadside, and sometimes blindly while driving. Just now I looked for one of those old steno pads and found a good one. I took a picture of a typical page and put it on my blog today, December 15th, 2022. Out of context, that page would confuse someone, but it makes total sense to me. I also had a zillion little pieces of scrap paper in my purse, on the kitchen table, or on my desk, with meaningful ways expressing myself with words. If I didn't write an idea down on that napkin while in a coffee shop, oftentimes it would move right through me, never to be thought of again. Nowadays, my writing involves writing the author reflections for this podcast and blog. And since I launched this podcast in October of 2022, I go to sleep thinking about it and wake up thinking about it. I'll make coffee and eagerly come out here to my studio as soon as I wake up, often before dawn, like right now, it's 5:50 a.m. I absolutely love it when a topic grabs me and an author reflection or a blog post flows out of me effortlessly. It makes me feel like I'm on the right path, doing the right thing. When I see that my husband is up, I'll take a break and go into the house and join him for a while before he starts his daily guitar practice routines. He is a professional musician and practices at least 6 hours every day. I play guitar with him too. We are the La Rui duo, but more about that later. If you have a question or comment about a story or my art, please email me at mary-law.com. There is a good chance I'll mention your comment or address your question in a future podcast. My website and email address are also in the show notes. In the next episode, I will be reading the next story in the book titled Higher Selves, which is a fascinating story about a reluctant experience with a psychic healer who found me in a past lifetime in the early 1800s. I was a 33-year-old Chinese man wandering a war-torn countryside on horseback, wounded and starving. I emerged from this experience with the psychic, newly pain-free, a feeling I hadn't known in years. This is Mary Law. Thanks for listening.